welcome to another edition of Faction of Freedom. I'm your host, Moser, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer. And wow, do we have a whole lot of stuff going on. We got a lot of stuff to talk to you guys about. There is, seems like everything is going on, and it doesn't really slow down. It's not going to slow down. You know, I was talking with family earlier today about this North Korea situation, canceling the talks. You know, and then I have this map here in the studio that you guys have seen. You know, you got this little tiny island over here trying to threaten us. And it's agreed, you know, it's not about the island. It's about what the island's connected to. It's about China. It's about Russia. It's about World War. And we got to handle this very, very delicately. But we'll be getting into that and more in this edition. Like I said, thank you guys for tuning in to Toppling Symbols, Reality Warping Technology, and the Birth of the Betaborgs. Clearly, this is going to be a heavy technologically themed episode because, wow, things are going on. Things are happening. But I wanted to start this episode off by saying, I think this is good news, but the CNN Atlanta, Georgia office was raided. Could this be that they're cracking down on our First Amendment, our others next, who controls language? Ultimately, CNN is fake news. But before we get into today's episode, I want to play for you guys a clip that we played in the previous episode about Zen City. This was a program being instituted by a Sacramento city where they're basically able to watch the entire town. So with that being said, let's give it a watch.
Move beyond like the 20th century.
West Sacramento is the first city in the nation to launch a controversial new program that is watching you, or rather you, online. The pilot project is designed to give city leaders a look at what's trending in the city, good or bad.
But some are concerned about privacy and just how the data is being used. Tonight we're getting answers on how the city is tracking you and why West Sac is watching. When the city of West Sacramento suffered a wave of mailbox thefts last November, many people complained on social media, and West Sac was watching.
That is a little creepy for the city to be watching what we post.
City leaders were alerted to the community concerns by a new high-tech computer program.
We saw, okay, the thing that people were talking about the most were mailbox thefts. That's something that we might not have noticed just by waiting for people to come to City Hall.
Now, from viral posts about potholes to a new pizzeria, West Sac leaders are notified using an algorithm called Zen City.
And the purpose of Zen City is to see the big picture.
So how does it work?
Well, Zen City basically spiders through publicly available social media posts and uses artificial intelligence to spider through it and say, okay, what are people talking about? What are the key words? What are the key themes? What are the key topic areas? And then are people negative about it or positive about it? And then gives us feedback about the sentiment of the community.
West Sacramento leaders get a report generated each month. So what are they looking for? In January, concerns peaked over the closure of a Safeway store and the murder of two sisters killed by their father. In March, a shooting threat at River City High School generated negative posts over the lack of updates from police and school staff. And now, city leaders have a fix on how people are feeling.
It's not that Zen City replaces our other forms of civic engagement. It's just a way to listen more.
There are ways that this can go wrong.
Some are concerned about what happens to the data that is distributed monthly to council members and department heads, including the police chief.
Once you get into policing, there are many more potential concerns around the use of artificial intelligence.
What we're seeing is these tools are being rolled out in secret without the proper safeguards to prevent abuse.
The ACLU worries about the potential misuse of the technology, and we've seen it before. Facebook began as a social engagement tool that quickly and widely engaged the public, but the recent reveal that Facebook's business model exposed user data has been troublesome for users, even though the exposure was not planned.
And so it's really important to have a conversation about how this tool works and to put the burden on the government and the city council to explain exactly what it's going to be used for.
There's no privacy issues because we're not opening up anything that hasn't already been published publicly for the purpose of being public.
Instead, the city hopes it will give all residents an equal say in civic matters.
So it allows us to hear the whole community and not just the loudest voices.
By offering a snapshot of all social media sentiment.
Our ultimate goal is to hear the signal that citizens are already sending.
Now, the city is spending $12,000 to license the Zen City software for 1 year, and it gets a 66% discount as a first user.
The funds come from Measure E, a quarter cent sales tax. Curtis?
Crazy. So imagine that, you know, having all of your social media posts monitored, having your entire town basically underneath the microscope to where, you know, there's no need for news. This is why CNN is getting raided. There's no need for news. You know what's going on. You are the news. They're inserting new stimuli. Everything's become one massive project that they can just manipulate. You know, and the types of stimuli I mean are domestic attacks, terror attacks, political developments, and social engineering. Whatever the types of things that they will do to manipulate your mindset. So as I said before, you know, the CNN Atlanta, Georgia offices were raided. And this is an article up by your Newswire, and they talk about how apparently they were raided by the FCC for deceiving the public. And if you've been following any of the work that we've been doing surrounding that, you know, indeed, that CNN is fake news. But this is nothing new. What does this mean whenever we have things like CNN, a once respected news organization, crumbling, being brought not necessarily to its knees, but coming under fire, coming under attack? What does that mean? Well, as the episode suggests, we are toppling symbols. We are attacking, not necessarily ourselves, but we are taking down pre-existing structures. So when I talk about you, yourself, you being the news, you are the news. That's not a joke. Social media, this is the flip side of creating or having the culture war discussion. This is the flip side of what happens whenever we become dominant media, whenever alternative media strides and just surpasses what is considered normal media. Now, that's something I definitely want people to think about, because as we move forward into the future, you know, this is why they're trying to put so many different... This is the TV reality. You know, I talk about this all the time. This is the TV reality. They have no more need for things like CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, all these places. You were the news. And so when I talk about the TV reality and talk about all the different types of things that they're trying to have us do, it's to get us into this mindset to where we're more easily controlled, but they can just slowly insert, like I said, new stimuli into what's going on. But what I wanted to talk about, and it falls in the lines with toppling symbols. As I said before, we recently heard how, you know, CNN's getting raided. We have Pope Francis talking about his resignation. What does that mean? Okay. And I really think that's something people should think about. What does that mean whenever the Catholic Church becomes basically just another political seat, another seat of office? What does that mean for religion? It's subject to change, just like the wind. It doesn't have the same kind of meaning. It's kind of like a more populist type of thing. We even have techno-populists in Europe. But let me get into this article right here. And this is from the Event Chronicle. And they talk about this because this is a major development in the Pedogate case. But this is from Zero Hedge. They put this up May 22nd. It says, all 34 bishops in Chile suddenly resign over absolutely deplorable pedophile priest scandal. What do you think that means? Well, I'll tell you this. Cardinal George Pell didn't go away for nothing. The Pope's right-hand man didn't go away for nothing. Now you got 34 bishops in Chile resigning. Let's get into this article. It says, all 34 bishops in Chile have tendered their resignations in the wake of yet another pedophile priest scandal in which high-level officials covered up the institutionalized sexual abuse of minors, even threatening officials tasked with investigating sex crimes and the destruction of evidence. 31 active bishops and three who are signed a document with their offers to resign following an emergency meeting this week with Pope Francis. Francis can accept the resignations one by one, reject them outright, or delay a decision. Calls have mounted for the resignations after details emerged of the contents of the 2,300-page Vatican report in the Chilean scandal leaked early Friday, and this was about last week. Francis had accused the bishops of destroying evidence of sex crime, pressuring investigators to minimize abuse accusations, and showing grave negligence in protecting children from pedophile priests. And in one of the most damning documents from the Vatican on the issue, Francis said that the entire Chilean church hierarchy was collectively responsible for, quote, grave defects in handling cases and the resulting loss of the credibility that the Catholic Church has suffered. No one can exempt himself and place the problem on the shoulders of others, Francis wrote in the document published by Chile's T113 television and confirmed as accurate Friday by the Vatican. So basically what they're talking about, people got caught. People got caught conducting sex acts. And you know what? Instead of them going to jail, you know what happened? They mishandled some of the evidence. But now you have 34 of the priests resigning. That's crazy. Is it crazy, though? Is it really crazy? We need to update the Pedogate timeline. And if people are unfamiliar as to what our Pedogate timeline is, I'll put that link in the description bar below. We basically made a timeline of all of the sex offenders, pedophiles, child molesters, all these people getting rounded up and then, you know, taken away. And this is very real because for some strange reason you had people that said Pedogate didn't happen, and I didn't buy into that, so I made the Pedogate timeline. But what I'm trying to illustrate here by having a introduction where we're talking about how the Catholic Church is under attack, how religion is under attack, how CNN is under attack, you know, you have the political aspect of what is considered a symbol. You have the religious aspect of what is considered a symbol. These things affect people, whether or not they buy into them, whether or not they subscribe to them, whether or not they pay attention to them. The behavior, just the simple action of being, affects the people. But what I wanted to talk about, and this is scary, not necessarily scary, but it's something I think deserves attention. While we might be having the church collapse, mainstream media being called out for the gagging, sanctimonious arbiters of truth as they present themselves to be, crumbling, we also have something coming into the wake. Now, this is kind of like a theme that you guys have been hearing me speak on for the past few episodes, for the past few months, really, is how we are given this opportunity to create an overwhelming amount of change. The fact that we have the truth, the fact that we're armed with the tools, the fact that we are literally creating solutions, not only for ourselves, but for our future generations, that we're able to do these types of things. So this is magnificent that we do have these types of things happening. Now, while this great advancement of alternative energy takes place, we also have people on the flip side who are seeing this take place, who are seeing this happen, who are wanting part of that energetic change. And what I mean by that is, I mean, the adversary has their ways as well. Beyonce's family has bought a church, and goddess worship may have just gone to a whole new level. Think about that.
Honestly, I think Beyonce is a better theologian than many of the pastors and priests in our church today. That is not an exaggeration.
According to a recent Gallup poll, Catholic Church attendance has gone down nearly 40% since the 1950s. But tonight's Beyoncé Mass is set to draw crowds in the hundreds. And though I don't consider Beyoncé to be a religious symbol, like some of her most ardent fans, there's no denying her strong use of religious symbolism throughout her music and performances. Paying homage to everything from female African deities, the Last Supper, Black Madonna, and the Virgin Mary herself. I spoke with Reverend Yolanda Norton, Beyoncé fan and organizer of the event, to find out where the idea came from to mix Beyoncé with the Bible.
The event was born out of a class that I teach called Beyoncé and the Hebrew Bible. So I walked them through this process of thinking about how the music of Beyoncé helped us have conversations about Black women and how we worship and our spirituality.
So talk me through how you analyze a song.
Honestly, I think Beyoncé is a better theologian than many of the pastors and priests in our church today.
Now, that is a statement in itself. You literally have one of these priests talking about how Beyonce is a better theologian than most of the priests that are in the pews today. Now, when we're talking about Beyonce establishing a church, 40% of Catholic Church attendance going down, Pope Francis literally over here being the Antichrist, what you have happening is how they're ending religion. They're discrediting the church. They're denouncing God. They're trying to lead people astray. Now, whenever you have Beyonce coming in here with the things that she's doing, she's supplanting religion. She's mocking religion. She's adding idol worship, advocating enslavement merely by the people who are pushing these agendas, you see. Now, I know you're thinking, oh, well, you know, this is just how these celebrities are. She just wants it for attention. Yes, you're perfectly right. The same way we had Childish Gambino say, this is America. The same way we had Kanye West say, you know, slavery, that's a mindset. For 400 years, that sounds like a choice. You're having these people who are, and you've heard me talk about this as well, Hollywood, since they're dissolving, they're becoming more active in the tactics that they have. They're no longer using the silver screen to simply manipulate and brainwash people to, you know, program them in very, very subtle ways. What they're doing now is they're using Hollywood, the music industry, the entertainment industry. They're using that as another form of media, as another form of truthing. You see, as I said before, with CNN, ABC, MSNBC, ESPN, all these other places dissolving, something has to take their wake. And whenever you have things like this happen, that's exactly what they're trying to do. You see. And I know it sounds really silly. Beyonce having a church? Well, how did Scientology start? How did half of the things that have that we see going on that are considered religions, how did they start? How did we get here? You see, that's really how it begins. Is pushing something that seems kind of crazy simply so we sit here and debate the semantics. That's why they say the devil is in the detail. And why that's important is because you have a city in Canada that is forcing groups to remove the anarchy symbol, labeling it as hate material. Now, back whenever I had to take a break before I get into this, back whenever David Hogg of the Parkland shooting was doing his rounds through the media, I did say, you know, I advocate anarchy. I don't believe that anyone has the authority to rule over one human being. That's what superiority is. That's what supremacy is. That's what racism is. That's what eugenics is. That's what a lot of that is. I don't advocate any of that. I advocate empowerment. Now, why am I talking about empowerment, race, and all this other stuff in relation to the anarchy symbol? No gods, no masters, no control. You are a sovereign being. You're a sovereign individual, a being. You should be allowed to do what you want. Some people call this a libertarian mindset. I literally just don't want someone to tell me what to do. But let me get into this article briefly, and then we will move on to how we have Democratic congressman, calling for gun control. But this is important because symbols rule the world. Not people. I put this up May 22nd. It's by the Anti-Media. Seems like it's a repost from Truth In Media. It says, City forces group to remove anarchy symbol, labeling it, quote, hate material. Hate material. I need to come up with my own logo, see if I can get that turned into hate material. It says that an anarchist group in Hamilton, a city in the Canadian province of Ontario, has been ordered by officials to remove an anarchy symbol from its headquarters. The officials have declared that the symbol is hate material, similar to the swastika. Despite police distancing themselves from the city's position, the anarchist symbol is considered hate material by the city of Hamilton and Hamilton Police Services, and as such, must be removed. City spokesperson Marie Fitzpatrick wrote in an email to CBC News. Now, before I go on, I'm not in defense of the swastika. Clearly, that's associated with the Nazis. And what they did, like most Satanists and people who are of the occult, who know what's going on, what they did is they inverted it. They took a natural symbol, and you can go back. This is all over the world. It's a universal symbol. But what it does is it shows you the different seasons. It shows you the different cycles of time, energy, and so much more. The swastika is actually a very mystic symbol, but because it's been co-opted by people who had their own agenda, it now has these kind of connotations to it. And the same thing has happened with the anarchy symbol. I believe it means freedom. But let me continue on in this article. It says, however, despite the claim by city officials that the anarchy symbol represents hate material, local police disputed the label. The symbol, quote, does not meet the threshold of a hate crime, Constable Jerome Stewart of the Hamilton Police said, according to CBC News, quote, to the best of our knowledge, it is classified as an extreme left sign, Stewart further stated, quote, so I don't know where the direction came that Hamilton Police have identified it as a hate crime sign, because as per our hate crime coordinator, that is not the case. According to a CBC News report that mandates the mandate to remove the symbol from the tower and anarchist meeting area was initiated after the group's headquarters was vandalized. The issue arose back in early March after a mass mob that dubbed itself the Ungovernables claimed caused $100,000 in damage during a vandalism spree on Lock Street. Days later, the tower, the city's local anarchist social center, and Cannon Street East near Victoria Avenue North was also vandalized. The building's front window was smashed, and afterward the tower covered it up with plywood that was painted with the Circle A anarchy symbol. City spokesperson Marie Fitzpatrick told CBC News that on March 16th, the city started a bylaw investigation into the symbol being displayed on the wood covering the windows. The city then issued a property standards order to remove it. Fitzpatrick said that the building's tenants confirmed that they got the order, which was, quote, complied with on March 26th. So here's what I'm going to say. And I'm going to point this out because, you know, this applies to Antifa and all these other types of people. What you're doing, again, I already went over this. They are using a symbol that is meant to be basically peace, freedom, and they're attaching chaos to it. I'm all about, you know, taking it to the system. I'm all about, you know, take down with the system, screw the system for broadcasting purposes. I can't say the swear word, but you know what I mean. What we have now is a swath of people who have been misled, misinformed, and who are out there causing all kinds of chaos. The anarchy that we see taking place these days has become mainstream, and that's what's crazy. You cannot mainstream a revolution, or even renaissance to that degree. It's constantly changing. And these people, these are just goons. These are just provocateurs. People who want to just see things burn, who want to cause all kinds of problems. You see, as if we don't have enough things that are going on. Nope, they need to cause issues. But what else is important that I think we need to look at, because this is just instrumental of where we're going, regardless of everything that you see us here talking about, there are more things happening. As I mentioned at the start of the show, Donald Trump canceled peace talks with North Korea, who are attached to China, who are attached to Russia, or attached to Russia, who don't like us. But now we hear that Sweden is issuing a war prepper manual to millions of its citizens. Now, they talk about home preparedness, you know, food, water, warmth, communications. Basically, get your bug out bag. Some crazy stuff's about to happen. Now, why is this being passed around in other countries, but here we don't care for anything? Here in America, we're actually hearing how elites and people are retreating from cities. They're getting away from population centers. They know the collapse is coming. There's an article that came out this week where it talked about 40% of Americans. Let me see if I can try to get this article up on my phone while I put this episode together. But it talked about how 40% of Americans are unable to basically pay for anything. Like if they went to the doctor, a $400 medical bill would make screw them. And I know that sounds crazy, but look at what's going on. This is the socioeconomic reformation. This is the financial collapse. And this is so much more at the same time. But I'm not able to. Oh, right here. Boom. This is from the Event Chronicle And I'll just read it here from my phone. It says, when 43% of Americans can't pay for food and rent, we can safely say the economic collapse is here. Now, why am I talking about the economic collapse and Sweden providing its citizens with pamphlets basically saying, prepare for war? The war is already here. The technocracy is already here. Toppling symbols, that's what I mean. What we're seeing right now, and this ties into the multicultural agenda that we see taking place in places like Sweden and Europe, where we basically have this injection of people, Muslims and people of the Islamic faith, coming into a different country. This is a forced breeding project. This is the multiculturalism agenda. Now, this is going to cause problems down the line. But how does it tie into the economic collapse? Well, there's going to be a destabilization. Certain people aren't going to be able to get types of food. You're going to have swaths of people who are uneducated and unable to express their displeasement and their disposition with their current situation simply because of the things and the way that things are changing. Now, when Sweden is issuing a prepper manual, it's saying, look, we can't necessarily we can't guarantee safety, and you need to. They're basically saying, to a degree, we have warned you, and if anything else happens, it's on you. So whenever, and I'm just trying to compare, you know, what's happening in Sweden versus what's happening here and how this will happen globally. That's the plan, to basically create a collapse that we're unable to get ourselves out of. And through this collapse is how they'll come through with the socioeconomic reformation, the new world order. But as I said before, while this is important as well, you know, you have Sweden literally issuing war prepper manuals. 43% of Americans can't pay for food and rent. And then on top of this, with all this chaos that's going on, you have a congressman calling for gun control.
We're continuing our extended conversation with Congressman Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California. So you've talked a lot about Russia, but you've also become known for your position on guns. And you're one of the very few Democrats, I think, who's been honest about that. You say that the U.S. government ought to ban a certain species of rifle. You wrote a piece about this. This is not a secret view you have. You wrote it in USA Today. And you say this: we should ban possession of military-style semi-automatic assault weapons. We should buy back such weapons from all who choose to abide by the law. And we should criminally prosecute any who choose to defy it by keeping their weapons. So we should confiscate this entire class of firearms. What do you think would happen if the federal government tried to do that?
Well, Tucker, did you read the op-ed?
I did. I just quoted from it extensively.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not calling for a confiscation. What I'm saying is we should invest in a buyback, that we should restrict any weapons that aren't bought back to gun clubs, hunting clubs, shooting ranges, keep them there where it's safe, not on our streets. And if you were caught, just like if you were caught, you know, with drugs or anything else, if they had probable cause to go into your home and you had one of these weapons, yeah, you'd be prosecuted. I've never suggested sending troops.
Okay, I'm going to quote an old friend of mine called Eric Swalwell. He's a congressman from California on the Intel Committee.
Good
Can
guy.
You get back in the screen, please? I'm just going to quote once again. And we should buy back those weapons, and I'm quoting, criminally prosecute any who refuse to choose to defy it by keeping their weapons. So you're going to prosecute people who don't give up their weapons. That's gun confiscation.
If they're caught with them, yeah. We're not sending troops door to door.
So, but what do you think? What do you think would happen? I mean, do you think, because of course the overwhelming majority of those people are law abiding, have committed no crime, have no plans to commit a crime. You would instantly turn them into felons. Do you think that you would have a civil war? Are you worried about that?
What do you think will happen if we do nothing? You think more kids will be killed?
I'm not.
You think
I'm not
more concerts will be shot up? More churches?
Watch how this guy starts to deflect.
I'm critiquing.
Watch how he starts to deflect.
Specific suggestion for what we. And you're a lawmaker, so this is meaningful what you said.
And I trust the American people are law-abiding, that their weapons could be bought back or keep them at a gun club. You don't have to give it up.
But what if you want to keep them in your home and you've done nothing wrong? Yeah. You haven't hurt anybody, and now you just made them into felons.
Yeah, no, there's no troop roundup here, Tucker.
But you just made them into felons. You just said that in the piece. Look, I'm not making this up, but you wrote that. So what do you think, like, if I'm a gun owner and I have one of the weapons that you say should be banned, and I don't feel like bringing it to a gun club, I feel like keeping it in my bedroom closet.
I don't think you're giving the American people enough credit that they'd be law-abiding and that they would
obey you. Or else they'd be criminally prosecuted.
No, I'm suggesting we have a conversation in Congress and pass a ban like this. Would they be obeying the law.
Would you apply as written by you?
Yeah, it would have to be passed by.
Would you apply these standards to yourself and your fellow members of Congress?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
yeah, not cops though. I don't think cops should be outgunned.
Of course not cops.
I don't have bodyguards.
Yes, you do. I was there today. No, you have many bodyguards.
I don't have bodyguards there today. I don't personally have bodyguards.
Oh, but you're surrounded by them.
I hate this guy's face.
They're bodyguards that I pay for.
They're police officers. They're sworn. They're trained.
They're there to protect you.
They shouldn't be outgunned. And that's the problem. I have two brothers who are cops.
Hold on.
My dad was a cop. They're outgunned.
But your bodyguards would get to have any kind of gun they want to protect you, but I wouldn't have.
I want them to protect me. I want them to protect the people who are getting shot up.
That's not Capitol Police exists to protect you.
This isn't about Capitol Police.
Well, no, but it is though.
It's about the kids who are dying, Tucker.
It's about me
and their schools. They're afraid to go to school tomorrow.
Watch them try to put the Hollywood on.
Shooters walking into the classroom. Don't they deserve to be protected?
They do. And so let's protect them. Amen.
Why do you need an AR-15?
I don't know why you need
to protect
one.
Your house.
You have them in your building where you work.
Police officers.
No, your bodyguards.
Don't denigrate the cops.
I'm not denigrating them.
They work hard.
I'm glad they're there.
They shouldn't be outgunned, and they're outgunned right now.
Wait a second.
I went to the funeral for four police officers who were killed by an assault weapon.
You don't actually care more than I do. We care the same. So it's not a question of who cares.
Do you think cops should have guns?
I think that your bodyguards should have the same guns that I have to protect my family.
They're America's bodyguards, Tucker.
They're not. They're
yours.
Don't
denigrate them like that.
I'm not denigrating.
They work too
hard.
Really?
Can they come to my house and protect my wife?
America's bodyguards.
Oh, but can I have a Capitol Hill? When you go to work, they hang out and protect you.
They're protecting the constituents.
No, they're protecting you, actually.
I don't have
personal. So why not?
Tucker.
Hold on. Why shouldn't my wife have the same firearm at home that your bodyguards use to protect you? Is that fair or is that unfair? Why is that unfair?
That's a ridiculous argument.
But why?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous? Because you're more important than me?
No, I don't
see.
You are trying.
No, I'm asking a sincere question. Why should you get to protect yourself?
Our cops should not be outgunned.
No,
period.
I'm talking not our cops. I'm talking
our military
cops.
Shouldn't be outgunned.
No, your cops.
Period.
Capitol Hill Police have. Why don't we just limit them to the same gun I can have at home?
Why can't we have a real conversation about this?
This is a real conversation. Why is it nonsense? You're putting your life
You're
above
calling
my
cops
family.
Bodyguards, and that's disrespectful
I'm
to
not
them.
Not calling all cops.
Police week was last.
They're jackboots. They're not bodyguards. They're jackboots.
I'm calling bodyguards.
No, I'm calling your
my
bodyguards.
My dad was a cop. He's not a bodyguard.
No.
He protects people.
Do you have
bodyguards? That's ridiculous.
Do members of Congress have bodyguards? I notice whenever I see.
You're calling a cop a bodyguard, man? That is so disrespectful.
They are
bodyguard.
And the government pays for them. And I was in the
and your
today.
Kids.
No, they're in your
and our
office.
Families.
Can I get the same in my
and
office?
They shouldn't be outgunned.
Taxpayers can pay for it?
They shouldn't be outgunned. They're outgunned today.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
If I walk down the hallway in front of your office, you have officers there paid for by taxpayers. Great guys. I'm not attacking them, obviously. And I think they watch this
channel.
They're
under attack.
Thank you for that. They're not at all. I'm merely saying that you have better protection than I do. And you're saying that my family doesn't deserve to have a certain species of weapon. You get to decide what we can protect ourselves with, but you're not going to in any way take the ability to protect you away from the Capitol Hill Police.
I'm saying that every police officer in America today is outgunned. For their safety and for the safety of the people they protect,
we shouldn't
have assault weapons.
Right. You just don't want to apply the rules to yourself. I get it. I wouldn't either. You know what I mean? I care about protecting my family.
Well, let's protect the kids first. That seems like the first place to start.
My house. I agree. Right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about this and more on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. This is Factions of Freedom. We'll be right back. Thank you guys for sticking with us. You know, the reason why I wanted to play that full clip out for you is so we really saw, like, what these people's mindsets are. Don't even get me started. That Eric Swalwell guy is a lying, degenerate piece of crap, isn't he? Could smell the bull hockey coming from his mouth. But, like I said, thank you guys for tuning in to this edition of Factions of Freedom. So, on this part of the show, I wanted to talk about how there's psychotronic warfare going on in China. I think it's similar to the embassy staffers that we heard about in Cuba a few months ago, but basically what this is silent weapons for quiet wars. Now, publicly, there is no actual connection between China and the American U.S. Embassy workers suffering the same type of attack. But what I wanted to talk about and use this as a way to give examples on psychotronic warfare, what silent weapons for quiet wars are, why the technocracy, 5G, and things like this, why it's so important. We talk all the time. It was just months, just weeks ago that the Homeland Security released those documents about remote mind control. Now, whenever you have U.S. workers that suffer from a brain injury after an abnormal sound in China, you really got to put the picture together, really understand what's going on. But I put this up May 23rd. It's by Zero Hedge, Tyler Durden. And it says, in an incident that ominously mirrors a series of similar attacks in Havana that left more than 20 State Department employees with serious injuries, a health alert has been issued to the U.S. citizens in China after an American government worker suffered symptoms for what appeared to be some kind of sonic attack. Now, why is this important? Why are we coming back talking about sonic weapons? Because we're going to be talking about technocratic China, how crazy they're getting. Regina Dugan, DARPA as well, and Building 8. So much of what is happening to us revolves around technology. And because we don't understand how deep the rabbit hole goes, the weapons that they have at their disposal, sometimes we end up on the bad side, on the wrong side of history. But let me get into this. It says that the U.S. Embassy in China issued the following statement this morning in response to the incident. A U.S. government employee in China recently reported subtle and vague but abnormal sensations of sound and pressure. The U.S. government is taking these reports seriously and has informed its official staff in China of this event. We do not currently know what caused the reported symptoms, and we are not sure of any other similar situations in China, either inside or outside of the diplomatic community. The description of the sound, which the victim said produced an abnormal sensation and pressure, sounds eerily familiar to the series of similar sonic attacks that affected U.S. Embassy personnel in Havana beginning shortly after President Trump defeated Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential race. Though their source has never been determined, the attacks damaged relations between the U.S. and Cuban governments and also left some embassy employees with mild brain damage. The U.S. recalled most of its embassy staff from Havana before expelling 15 Cuban diplomats from Washington in response to the alleged attacks. The U.S. then accused the Castro regime of not doing enough to protect Americans in Cuba. Despite the regime's promise to do everything it could to investigate, it was also reported that some of the attacks happened in a Havana hotel room, according to Reuters. The incident in China occurred just as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is preparing to meet with the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi in Washington late Wednesday, and as trade talks between U.S. and China appear to have reached an impasse. The same time that we hear that Donald Trump is canceling peace talks. What am I trying to get at? They're stringing up 5G towers all over the place. Not just here in America, it's over the world. They're streaming 4G with solar-powered planes over the ocean, over the desert. Abnormal sound, they have these types of things. They have frequency weapons. They have these types of things. That's what I mean by delta wave emitters sometimes. Abnormal sound attacks, sonic attacks, frequency attacks, these things are very real. But people seem to not want to realize how this affects us. When you have DARPA planning to use drones to patrol the city, what do you think that's going to do? Imagine that. Imagine they're able to send some kind of frequency, just attach some kind of remote mind control device onto a drone. and then prepare, hover over you, and then, you know, just literally send a frequency that zaps your brain. If you guys want to see how this is already being implemented in different ways, go look into things such as targeted individuals. This is a very real phenomena that is happening. And it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. So recently, speaking of slowing down and not doing so, recently we've heard about how China has instituted their social credit system. Now, one of the first big projects I kind of did was our Building the Matrix series. Recently, because YouTube sucks, they took down our 4 years worth of content. Now, I may upload the Building the Matrix series back up there onto our feed because I really think it's something that people should see, and I also want to do another version of it. That is one of the cornerstones of the New World Order. If they can create a system to where we abide by it, a system inside of a system, they've already controlled, they've already won. This is why censorship, the First Amendment, and America's Second Amendment are so important. This is why just the ability to even communicate is essential. But now we hear about how China is celebrating its technocratic social credit system by blocking people from over 1 million flights. That's right. The social credit system that's actually out there saying, hey, this guy's not a good citizen. Hey, this person jaywalks. Hey, this person posts too much. Hey, this person plays violent video games. Hey, this person goes out to eat at this place. This person purchases this much. The technocratic system that is already being built that will only become more invasive has blocked 11 million flights. I put this up May 22nd, and you guys can find this on our website, but it says China's state-run Global Times newspaper reported on Monday that over 11.14 million instances of individuals not being able to board flights and 4.2 or 4.25 million similar incidents on trains had occurred, quote, by the end of April. Since the same person could attempt to board a flight or train and have officials deny them more than once, it is likely that the number of individuals banned from traveling is slightly lower than the number of instances in which the government has blocked travel. The Global Times proclaims the millions of cases of government officials using the social credit system to ground travelers as a success of the system, which closely monitors the behavior of all individuals, assigning a numerical value to how beneficial to the Chinese communist state each person is. People considered loyal, law-abiding members of the Communist Party are assigned high social credit scores, while those who violate the law, behaving in irritating ways in public, or suspected of engaging in dissent or dissident activity are assigned lower scores. So if you're listening to this show and you're in China, I'm sorry, my friend. I didn't mean to give you a bad social credit score. I'm trying to tell you that these types of things are happening. On top of that, it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. What is the point of it? To not only have unilateral control of your mind, to dictate what you see, what you feel, how you act, but to literally mold you into something that you're not. You see, and this is why I have such a problem with racism. I'm going to get into this. There's a point to this. This is why I have such a problem with racism. No one should be alike. No one person has the solution. Perfect changes with the seasons. If China is literally using a social credit system to manipulate, engineer, and mold individuals to being basically even more robots than they already are, how can you have diversity? How can you have identity? How can you have creativity? How can you have so much, as you've heard us talk about so much on the show recently with things such as Renaissance, how could you have a Renaissance when everybody is literally cookie cutter? How does this tie into racism? We learn from each other. We should be respecting one another. I don't, you know, what's going on with the current Communist Party Chinese, you know, I don't necessarily understand it. I don't respect it, but I love the Chinese culture. I love the Japanese culture. I love the Oriental culture. I love the African culture. I love all cultures. I respect them. I really do. But whenever we believe that one person has the right to govern over others and dictate their superiority, that's whenever we all start to lose. That's whenever we start to divide. But getting back into why it's important with this article, China literally creating this type of technocratic system, this social credit system, how long do you think it is before America adopts this? How long do you think it is until we literally have our own situation with the social credit system? They already have these types of technologies in place. They're doing it in China. They were supposed to call this the Sesame Credit System. We've been following this story for years, and now that it's finally here, it's crazy. But what's even more crazy is the future plans that these people have. It doesn't stop there. No, we would only be so lucky.
So let me give you an example of what I mean. Let's start with your brain. Your brain has 86 billion neurons that fire 1,000 times per second. Now, they don't all fire at the same time, so let's decrease that by a factor of 100. That would mean your brain is capable of producing about 1 terabit per second. About 40 HD movies are streaming in your brain every second. Now, if you haven't had your coffee yet, you might be moving about 10 times slower. So let's just say it's 4 HD movies every second. And herein lies the problem. How do I get all of that information out of my brain and into the world? What are my choices? Well, I'm speaking to you right now, and I'm transmitting at about 100 bits per second. That's the bandwidth equivalent of a 1980s dial-up modem. So, here's what we have. 4 HD movies per second streaming over a 1980s dial-up modem. Speech is essentially a compression algorithm and a lossy one at that. So, what if you could type directly from your brain? Think of it more like this. You take many photos, you choose to share some of them. Similarly, you have many thoughts, you choose to share some of them. We're talking about decoding those words, the ones you've already decided to share, by sending them to the speech center of your brain. A silent speech interface, one with all the speed and flexibility of voice, but with the privacy of typed text. Now, Marc Chevalier is the lead for this effort. He's a physicist neuroscientist, and 6 months ago, he had the idea that this might be possible. Today, we've assembled a team of more than 60 scientists, engineers, and system integrators. They specialize in machine learning methods for decoding speech and language, in optical neuroimaging systems that push the limits of spatial resolution, in the most advanced neural prosthetics in the world. And we're just getting started. Together, we have a goal of creating a system capable of typing 100 words per minute, 5 times faster than you can type on your smartphone, straight from your brain.
Straight from your brain. They literally want to have you have your brain type whatever it's thinking. That's what I mean. You would think that it would stop with the social credit score. Oh, you know, this person says this type of stuff, therefore they need to be stopped in this way. Now that's that would be lucky. Then you could figure out that kind of system. You could try to bypass it. No, the system that these people are trying to create now, they don't want it to be bypassable. They want it to be literally inside of your mind so that they can decode you. You see, to them you're just another algorithm. You're just another piece of code. A problem that needs to be solved. We can't get this guy's mind. We don't understand what's going on. How come we can't see their brain? We need more information. Well, here's a good way. And it's crazy. It sounds crazy. But as I said before, whenever you have DARPA talking about having drones patrol the sky, creating Wi-Fi in the sky, creating the Skynet, creating this matrix that we find ourselves living in, what does that mean? What does life mean? You see, I don't think a lot of people take the time to really ask those types of questions. Why are we swimming in this electronic soup? Why are these things happening to me? Why are we having this? It's not even necessarily to you or to me. That's the even crazier part. It's happening to us all. These are all things that we have to find ourselves dealing with, that we all have to come up with our own solutions to do. How do you find a solution for somebody that's using 4 HD movies per second streaming over a 1980s dial-up modem as a template for entering your brain? They have our brains clocked right now. They want to know, how do we get inside? How do we know more? Do you want to know more? For people who are unfamiliar as to who that lady was that you were hearing, and that was Regina Dugan. That was a former DARPA executive who is heading who's heading Facebook's shady project called Building Ape. Now, if you've heard me talk about this a number of times, you know how people like Donald Trump, Jeff Bezos, all these people who are involved in this type of stuff, what they're doing these days is they're trying to use the technology, as I said before, to become more invasive. They want to know. They need the information. They need the intel. Towards Donald Trump's start of his presidency, I talked about how he's getting extremely close with the technocrats, people like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, I'm forgetting one more. It's Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and there's another one as well. It escapes me at the moment, but what I'm trying to point out is how this is the initiative. This is the agenda. They're trumping in the technocracy. They're using this guy to get people all upset, agitated. You know, Donald Trump said something. Get upset today. Put how you feel on these systems, that way we can monitor your opinions live time. And have we not given them everything that they desire? And more. You see, the point behind this reality that's become a social experiment gone awry is just that. To constantly keep evolving. Constantly keep changing facts, constantly keep changing everything, so we never know what's truly going on. You see. And it has to start with us agreeing to take part in this experiment. You see. There is no nice way to kind of put this type of stuff, unfortunately. But there is a way to look at it to where we don't forever become afflicted by these types of things. While they are very real, and this is something that you've heard me talk about a lot recently as well, while they are real, we're not to be discouraged entirely. Yes, these things are happening, but we ourselves have the ability to know what's best, to filter through all this chaos. And what we're about to get into next, it's important because it talks about how they're poisoning the population, dehumanization, depopulation, and ultimately how they're trying to push this global health security agenda. Now, what we will be talking about here are things such as electromagnetic radiation, electrosmog, and this ties into as well things like 5G, smart lamps, and how they're causing insomnia and nosebleeds in the UK. That's an article that, if we have time, we'll get into. But the one I want to get into right now with you guys is this one here, where we're talking about, and this is from Mysterious Universe, but where we're talking about how electromagnetic radiation from cell phones pose a credible threat to wildlife. And the reason I say this is because if it's posing a threat to wildlife, what do you think it's doing to us? If it's affecting animals, what do you think it's doing to us? There's articles where we've talked about that as well. But let me get into this right now for you guys. It says that we are surrounded by electromagnetic radiation. And I put this up May 23rd. It's by Mysterious Universe. Sequoia Kennedy says electromagnetic radiation from cell phones pose a credible threat to wildlife. It says we're surrounded by electromagnetic radiation constantly. If you have a cell phone reception, radio reception, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or any other wireless connection or communication tech available, you are swimming in a sea of electromagnetic radiation. We don't seem to care much about the potential dangers of EMF or the potential dangers of electromagnetic fields. Conversely, many cities are adopting 5G and Wi-Fi saturation plans that will further increase the level of EMR exposure. That's a bad thing, according to a new report. The UK-based Eclipse Project has found that electromagnetic radiation, quote, poses a credible threat to wildlife, including birds, insects, and even the metabolic health of plants. The metabolic health of plants. Everything. Everything is affected by it. And why is electromagnetic important? Because it affects your electromagnetic field. If you've heard me talk about how you have a frequency, you have a biochemistry, you have a auric field, all of these things are somewhat of the same. And this electromagnetic radiation that we find ourselves living in, this soup of detestable goo, of unforeseeable goo that's obliterating everything, we're sitting in it. And the reason I chuckle is because it is nervous laughter. It really is. But let me get back into this article. It says that the... the Eclipse Project, or the Eclipse Review, was undertaken after a proposal by the UK conservation group Bug Life. From reviewing the available studies done on electromagnetic radiation, Eclipse concluded that electromagnetic wireless signals, including from power lines, radar, TV, radio broadcasting, Wi-Fi, 2G, 3G, 4G, might all harm wildlife. So even some of our older modeled technology affects things. 100 billion wireless devices will be connected by 2025. And this is why, if you guys haven't, go back and listen to that episode with me and KB Visions, because 5G is incredibly dangerous. People think, hey, you know, the internet's faster. What do I care? Well, you should care because it's obliterating your DNA. You should care because there's literally something that's hijacking your natural frequency. You should care because there's something that's telling you what to do when you're not telling yourself what to do. You should care because there's something that is interrupting the frequency that you should be having. Continuing on with this article, it says that an international group expert led by Bill Sutherland of the Cambridge University identified electromagnetic radiation as one of the 15 emerging threats to biodiversity in a 2018 paper. According to that paper, published in Trends in Ecology and Evolution, 100 billion devices are expected to be wirelessly connected by 2025. The paper outlines the potential danger that may cause. During use, mobile telephones and other smart devices generate radio frequency electromagnetic fields, RF-EMFs, and a form of non-ionizing radiation which may change the biological processes such as neurotransmitter functions, cellular metabolism, and gene and protein expression in certain types of cells, even at low intensities. Sutherland acknowledged that EMR's effect on humans is controversial, but states that there is limited evidence of increased tumor risk in animals. Oh, well, I can't see it, therefore, it must not be real. This is crazy. This is insane. This is what I mean by reality warping technology. They're trying to get us involved in their society, but their society is trying to kill us. They have us walking to the chopping block as they're sharpening the axe. It's crazy. But this is crazy. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna be talking about the birth of the Beta Borgs. How what we're seeing is merely only the beginning. They have to set up the infrastructure, and they are slowly figuring out what to house it with. Spoiler alert, it's us. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about this and more on the other side. Stay tuned. I'll talk to you soon.
pay your fare using only your hand. Are you one of those people that's always losing stuff like keys and tickets? Well, Sweden has found the solution. Around 3,000 Swedish commuters have had biometric microchips implanted in their hands in order to pay for train tickets. Commuters who elect to have the RFID chip implanted under the skin are able to have their tickets loaded onto the device. The implants use near-field communication technology, similar to contactless credit cards or mobile payments. When activated by a reader device a few centimeters away, information can be transferred between them using magnetic field induction. The train conductor then scans the microchip with a smartphone to complete and verify the ticket transaction. An estimated 20,000 people in Sweden already have implants and are using them to swipe in and out of the office and to pay for food. You want to put that where? Science fiction is becoming fact, and we're not sure we like it. A tech firm in Wisconsin is about to become the first company in the U.S. to give microchip implants to its employees. Three Square Market, which designs software for vending machines, says more than 50 of its workers have volunteered to have the devices fitted. The microchips are about the size of a grain of rice and will be inserted into the skin between the thumb and forefinger. The microchips will allow workers to access the building and log on to their computers. Employees can also use the chips to buy food-like products from office vending machines. The purveyors of this dystopian technology claim there is no GPS function and it won't be used to keep tabs on employees. But we can't help but feel like we're sleepwalking into a future where even the blandest details of our lives are recorded, possibly to be used against us at a later date. The company says none of its employees are required to get a chip implant. But it's not impossible to imagine a world where this kind of thing is the norm. And if you want a job, you'll have no choice but to become part cyborg. Just because something tech-related is possible doesn't mean we have to do it. Paralyzed monkeys walk again with brain implants. Paraplegics may soon regain use of their legs, now that scientists have created an implant that proves effective in primates. In a spinal cord injury, brain signals are unable to reach the neurons that activate movement, often resulting in paraplegia. But Swiss researchers have found a way to bypass this, successfully restoring movements in paralyzed monkeys. The team developed an interface that uses two wireless implants, a sensor in the brain, and a nerve stimulator near the spinal injury. The sensor picks up brain signals commanding leg movement and transmits them to a computer. The computer decodes the signals and sends them to the second implant in the spine. From there, pulses of electricity are released to stimulate certain nerves. This in turn triggers muscles in the leg, enabling it to move and flex. The researchers plan to apply the technology to improve human lives, but say it may take several more years to achieve. Toxic tush doc gets 10 years for illegal butt injections.
Okay, I think that's enough.
Plastic surgeon in Miami who injected a toxic...
I think that's enough. But what I wanted to illustrate by playing that clip for you guys... Thank you for tuning back in to the episode. But what I wanted to do for playing that clip for you guys is show you how... what we're doing now is we're turning ourselves into cyborgs. We're turning ourselves into those transhumans, those H+, the post-human, you see. And so it starts with things like 5G. It starts with things... like social media. It starts with trying to figure out how to access your brain wirelessly. Sounds wild, but these things are happening. People don't see how we are, as the video said, marching towards this dystopian future. And whenever you have people who have no allegiance to you or to your betterment, you basically become subject to all the crossfire and all the types of things that can take place. You see. So what I wanted to do with the time that we have is talk about how, you know, dozens of spy towers were found around D.C. and nobody's sure how they got there. They're finding towers in New York City. They're finding towers in Washington, D.C. They're finding towers all over the place. You know, is this the deep state? Is this anonymous? Is this rogue agents? Are these independent activists? Is this a shadow group? Foreign intelligence? Who is this? Who's setting this type of stuff up? What kind of information do they want? How does it tie into the Borgs? What kind of information are we giving off? What are they dropping in the chemtrails? What are we ingesting in the food? What are we giving via social media? What are we giving through our metadata? How do these people have information? Somebody needs to start paying me for all my data that these people keep finding somehow. Ridiculous. You know, and we'll get into this later, you know, how Australia is banning cash and how that hints towards the cashless society. And it also ties into the Beta Borg concept, where they're getting rid of money. Everything is done on your cell phone. You see. They need to track you. They need the information. They need it. Let's see if this clip is ready to play.
We know that law enforcement uses them, but the Department of Homeland Security says there are also rogue devices that are a real and growing threat.
The News 4 I-Team brought in an expert who found them all around our area. Investigative reporter Jody Fleischer explains what that means for you.
It can be as small as a suitcase.
Most people don't know about it.
Placed anywhere at any time.
Our privacy isn't what it once was.
The technology, sometimes referred to by the brand name Stingray, mimics the signal of a cell phone tower and tricks nearby phones into connecting to it instead.
If you live close to someone who's a target, you could still get caught up.
And the News 4 I-Team found in D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia, those targets are everywhere.
We just got another one on two networks.
Aaron Turner uses special software loaded on to three cell phones with three different carriers.
So when you see these red bars, those
we know that,
and that's crazy.
Uses them, but the department
what they're talking about is Stingray technology. Yes, the law enforcement does have it, and literally what it does is it uses those cell phone towers, those Gwyn towers, and all those other things. It uses that as a way to springboard into your phone, downloading your information in seconds. Now, why is this important? As we talked about at the start of the show with Congressman Eric Swalwell talking about how, you know, he wants congressional gun control. He wants and how that will turn people into instant felons. I talked about this in our Building the Matrix series, how a few years ago, they had merged civilian and criminal fingerprint databases. Here's where we are. They need the information. But we don't know who's putting these up here. That's the even crazier part. We don't know why these things are happening. You see. But don't worry. Don't worry. Just keep on keeping on. Don't pay attention to the man behind the mirror. Don't pay attention to what's really going on. Nope. See, there's nothing happening. You crazy conspiracy theorists. Why would you ask questions about that? Gosh, that's so stupid. Cell phone towers that nobody knew how they got there? Psh, would you stop it? Would you cut it out with your craziness? Well, speaking of crazy and facial recognition technology is crazy. Amazon is crazy. These technocrats are crazy. These people are crazy. That's why we're talking about it, because it is crazy. Because why else would you have New York schools installing facial recognition technology that's used by the police and the military? Could it possibly be because we have Amazon selling facial recognition technology to the police and military? So basically, the New York schools are installing facial recognition technology as brought to them by Google. Or as brought to them by Amazon. That's what's crazy. The Beta Borgs, we're not done yet. Don't worry, we're going to talk about things like implantable chips and soldiers and robots growing organs. But this is it. They need your data. They need your information. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this stalling facial recognition technology in schools is the same reason I have a problem with putting metal detectors in schools. Same reason I have a problem with the Parkland shooting with David Hogg, how the response is now, some schools will have school resource officers that have ARs, assault rifles. We're talking about arming teachers. All of this literally criminalizes children. They are going to go to school thinking it is a frickin' prison. This is not education. This is indoctrination. But let me get into this article. I put this up May 21st. It's from the Anti-Media. It's by Kerry Wedler. It says, amid the highly publicized spate of mass shootings in America, one public school district is set to impose unprecedented police state tactics to ensure security and safety for the students. Starting next year, next school year, schools in New York's Lockport District will be equipped not only with bulletproof glass and surveillance cameras, but also with facial recognition technology used by police forces and military units. Quote, we always have to be on our guard. We can't let our guard down, said Lockport Superintendent Michelle T. Bradley, told Syracuse.com. Quote, that's the world we're living in. Times have changed. For the Board of Education and the Lockport City School District, this is the number one priority, school security. Quote, when it comes to safety and security, we want to have the best possible. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Stop it right there. Because even the school resource officers get shot. I've seen the footage of where, you know, that guy's driving around, and this is in the Florida Parkland shooting, where he's driving around in the golf cart forever and hardly enters the building. Safety and security means preempting these types of things. Hold on before I go into this. What we're talking about, as I said before, getting into the article, you're criminalizing children. You're turning these children into criminals. You're making them think that something is wrong, that something that they've done is messed up. They're messed up, and they need to be guarded. You're basically creating the environment saying you're wrong and you're a victim. Don't worry. We'll take care of you. Someone's going to think, oh, God, is something really wrong? Am I the one that's wrong? Is there something wrong? They're going to flip out. We're not really assessing the issue that this is a mental, emotional, and spiritual health issue, not a safety and security issue. You got crazy people anywhere you go. Adding more guns into the mix, adding more checkpoints is not going to help. But I tell you, what will help is putting in the work to try to fix individuals at a base level, at a real level. Making them out to feel as though they're criminals is only going to make them act and feel like criminals. Let me get into this, and so we can move on and talk about these robots growing organs and implantable chips in soldiers. Some crazy stuff. But yeah, the person that said this, when it comes to safety and security, we want to have the best possible, was DePew Superintendent Jeffrey R. Rabby. They also said that from what I've seen, there's no other like it. The DePew school system is also working to obtain the same Aegis system supplied by the Canadian company SN Technologies. It is part of the school district's $2.75 million push for security, which includes 300 digital cameras. According to Tony Olivo, an Orchard Park security consultant who helped develop the system, Lockport schools will be in the first in the world to use facial recognition technology. Though other schools in the U.S. do employ other kinds of facial recognition, he noted that Scotland Yard, Interpol, the Paris Police, and the French Ministry of Defense already use it. The schools are not any of those things. Schools are they're supposed to be a place where people go to get education. They're not the Ministry of Defense. They're not Interpol. But continuing on, it says Olivo also said that Lockport schools were used to test videos, the Aegis softwares developers used as they created the technology. The district has been eyeing the technology since 2012 Sandy Hook shooting and is paying it with the funds secured with the New York State's Smart School Bonds Act of 2014. Those school officials are enthusiastic about the new additions. Facial recognition technology has a questionable track record. Yes, and basically what this will do is this will give them the ability to have a system in place so that they can start doing things like the social credit system, so they can start monitoring you, so they can see whether or not you're a threat. More shootings are going to occur. Unfortunately, until this system is fully into schools and they can start to try to, air quotes, predict crime, more shootings will occur. So having bulletproof glass, having the school resource officers, having the facial recognition technology, all of this stuff, yes, it seems like it helps, but this is really just a police state entering schools. You see, if they really want change, they need to sit down with people and figuring out what's going on inside. We know the MO every single time with people who are shooters, whether they be MK Ultra or just some whacked out kid. More shootings happen too. That's the even crazier part. More shootings have taken place. But you'll always notice, and this is the hallmark of the elitists and how they operate, if it gets national attention, if it's just spreading like wildfire, you know, you give it a few seconds, they'll start calling for gun control, they'll start calling on conspiracy theorists, they'll start doing it all. There are hallmarks to everything that happens with that. I wanted to illustrate how this is going to lead into the system that these people are creating. Now, one of the more important and crazier articles that I've seen this week alone is just that, how they are talking about implantable health monitors coming for soldiers, and how they're also having robots that grow human organs from the University of Washington. Scientists are doing that. What is this? What's going on? What are we doing? We're changing what it means to be human. We're no longer operating merely in the flesh. Nope. We're operating in the cyber world. Health monitors, that's a good way to start. The watch you have on right now, is it a smartwatch? Is it an Apple Watch? Does it take your heart rate? Your phone might. Your phone does. Why do they need implantable health monitors? It's because of just like Bill Gates with his implantable contraceptive, which can basically make you sterile for more than 6 years at a time, this affects your natural biochemistry, your natural frequency, your natural auric field. I talk about this all the time. But let me get into this article. I put this up May 21st. It's from Drudge Report feed. It says, next, implantable health monitors for coming soon for soldiers. Soldiers may soon be carrying monitoring devices that can alert doctors thousands of miles away to medical emergencies and the need for treatment. The devices may even be implanted into the soldiers and continuously monitor their status. The Army's top doctor said in describing the near future of Army medicine, quote, we should be monitoring all soldiers all the time, looking for patterns of injury or other signs of early detection, said Lieutenant General Nadia West, the Army's Surgeon General, during a talk May 8th at the Association of the U.S. Army in Arlington, Virginia. Quote, we can do better when every soldier is a sensor, and we can continuously monitor information culled from them. The monitors would send out streams of detailed data on the soldier's health. For example, a device could measure blood sugar levels, and a doctor or nurse hundreds of thousands of miles away can check on a soldier's diabetes and recommend treatment or calibrate insulin. Quote, there is an explosion of wearable and soon implantable peripheral monitors, West said. Quote, it is completely revolutionizes how we can follow and impact a soldier's health for a patient's health. Soldiers face environments where their threat may be unknown, and such devices will make a difference, she said. U.S. diplomats in Havana, Cuba, became ill last year from a mysterious cause, possible type of sound wave that remains unknown, she added as an example. Monitoring them and their environment could have led to early detection and potentially been better understanding of what happened. Commanders can use this kind of technology to decide when to send on the next mission, or who and when to send on the next mission, West said. Just imagine a commander having that information, where that person is and how they are doing. Now, I think it's coincidental that they would mention the Havana Cuban attacks with these implantable health monitors, because the sonic attacks that have taken place in Cuba and in China, those are not detectable. Like the heart attack gun, those are not detectable, but they can see where different types of things are taking place. If they're attacking the brain, if they're attacking the lungs, if they're attacking the heart, if they're attacking organs, all these things are important. But implantable health monitors are merely the start. They, as I played for you guys before with that clip, they have literal implantable technology that can make a paralyzed, a quadriplegic monkey walk. Health monitors are their way of saying, we're taking the next step. We're doing something else. It's no longer just your average day flesh and bone soldier. You give it time. I've talked about how Atlas Technologies and others have escaped me at the moment, but they have exoskeletal suits where you put on basically it's not an Iron Man suit, because it's merely a humanoid looking exoskeleton suit that you put in. It just augments your strength, but that's a form of wearable technology. What they will also be doing in the future is where they have injectable technologies to where, you know, you have something that attaches itself to your spine, and then it sends signals to just do that, to amplify or augment your strength to a certain degree. It's crazy. You know, this transhumanist movement that is taking place and is gaining so much steam, it is crazy the level at which they're operating and how fast they're putting stuff out there. Which brings me to my next article. Robots are growing human organs. Is there anything robots can't do? Crazy. Now, this is something that I talk about a lot, because the idea behind transhumanism and the Beta Borg thesis, or theory, is just that we will become patchwork people. We will all become Frankensteins. That we will all have a mixed match of different organs and different types of technology. You know, we'll never be normal. But isn't that where we see ourselves at today? Are you assuming my gender? Let me get into this article. I put this up from Drudge Report Feed. It says, is there anything robots can't do? They can perform our jobs, get periods, and now grow human organs. Scientists at the University of Washington School of Medicine have developed an automated system that uses robots to produce human mini-organs from stem cells. According to Science Daily, the ability to mass-produce organoids promises to expand the use of mini-organs in basic research and drug discovery. Quote, this is a new secret weapon in our fight against disease. The university's Benjamin Friedman tells Science Daily, before scientists would just grow cells from biomedical research by culturing them into flat sheets, but these were too simplistic to truly mimic the way true cells behaved. More recently, researchers have had some success growing these cells into much more complex and three-dimensional structures called mini organs. This new development, however, allows them to produce these organoids at a rapid pace. It's the first time researchers have been able to mass produce these mini organs from stem cells. Ordinarily, just setting up an experiment of this magnitude would take a researcher all day, while the robot can do it in 20 minutes. Friedman tells Science Daily, quote, on top of that, the robot doesn't get tired and make mistakes. There's no question. For repetitive, tedious tasks like this, robots do a much better job than human. So many organs, they're growing them. To study. That's what they tell you. You know, they have 3D bioprinters. They are able to grow organs. We talk about this all the time. They're growing organs in pigs and cows and transplanting them into humans. This is where it goes. So what happens whenever that soldier that has the implantable chip, whenever he does lose his kidney or his pancreas or his spleen, are they going to have a robot grow a new one? This is the future that we're moving into. But one thing I want to point out is this is not a future for everyone. All of these advancements, as great as they do sound, they're not for us. Unfortunately, these are for our adversary. We have the luxury of knowing what these people want to do and literally doing the opposite, literally coming up with a better future and a better way to live. What's going on right now is a travesty, universally. They're mocking God. You literally have, you got Beyonce over here trying to make a church. Pope Francis and all of his goons, his fleets of people, carrying out wicked, crazy stuff. Resigning from church. You have religion crumbling. You have CNN being raided. You have your literal thoughts being cultured and manufactured and used against you, weaponized. This world that we're moving into is very crazy. And we have got to keep ourselves in check. As I talked about in the previous episode, we have got to have sovereign vigilance. We've got to know what's going on. We cannot be victims to this overwhelmingly tyrannical society. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Toppling Symbols, Reality Warping Technology, and the Birth of the Beta Borgs.